Jesus Christ is the light that lightens up the darkness of our world. Good morning, this is your announcer, Susie Bloom, seated just off the chancel of St. John's on this, the first Sunday of Epiphany. As this commentary leads you through our worship service, we hope you feel as if you are here in person with us. Our order of worship this morning is the Liturgy for Holy Communion by Marty Haugen. Our worship assistant this morning is Brad Lynch. We begin our worship this morning by singing Song of Thankfulness and Praise, hymn number 88 in Lutheran worship.
Songs of thankfulness and praise, Jesus, Lord, to Thee we raise. Manifested by the star, to the sages from afar. Branch of royal David's stem, in the birth at Bethlehem, anthems we to Thee address, God in that shape manifest. Manifest at Jordan's stream, Prophet, priest, and king supreme, and at Cana's wedding guest, in thy Godhead manifest. Manifest in power divine, changing water into wine, anthems be to thee addressed, God in flesh be manifest. Manifest in me, behold, loving lips and meeting soul. Manifest in veiled white, dwelling on the devil's might. Manifest in gracious will,
morning.
Good morning.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Blessings and greetings to you in the name of Jesus. It's good to be with all of you this morning for worship. It is the first Sunday after the Epiphany or the baptism of Jesus, and we will be following the order of service as it's printed before you in the worship bulletin. We'll continue now with the brief order of confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us And for his sake he forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy.
For the reign of God, and for peace throughout the world, for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy.
For your people here who have come to give you praise, for the strength to live your word, let us pray to the Lord.
Have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, and defend us, O God. Now the feast and celebration, all of creation sings for joy. To the God of light and love and freedom, praise and glory forevermore. Now is the feast of the Lamb once slain, whose blood has freed and united us to be one great people of God. Now the feast and celebration, all of creation sings for joy. To the God of light and love and freedom, praise and glory forevermore. Power and riches, wisdom and might, all honor and glory to Christ forever. Now the feast and celebration, all of creation sings for joy. To the God of life and love and freedom, praise and glory forevermore. For God has come to dwell with us, to make us people of God, to make all things new. Now the feast and celebration, all of creation sings for joy. To the God of light and love and freedom, praise and glory forever. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. We pray. Holy God, creator of light and giver of goodness, your voice moves over the waters. Immerse us in your grace and transform us by your Spirit, that we may follow after your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading for the baptism of our Lord is the reading from the second Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in the responsive reading of Psalm 29 as printed in your worship bulletin.
Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name.
Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace.
The second reading is from Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
Please stand, if able, for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter, verses 4 through 11. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith together now in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please have a seat.
Join us now as we sing our sermon hymn, Baptized in Water, from One Voice. This is your Hour with God, broadcast on tape delay from St. John's Lutheran Church, Depew, New York, at exactly 1300 on your AM dial, Radio WXRL.
Dear friends in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father, their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text I chose for this morning's sermon is taken from St. Mark's Gospel, the first chapter, verses 4 through 11. That's the Gospel reading that Brad just read for us. Now my hunch is all of us in this place are familiar with new beginnings or fresh starts. And I'm not talking about those new beginnings or fresh starts that we typically associate with New Year's, you know, those resolutions like I talked to you about last week. That's not at all what I'm talking to you about, but I'm talking more about those fresh starts or those new beginnings that are sort of milestones for us. Things like starting up a new job or a new relationship or moving into a new community or starting at a new school, college, whatever it may be. Now with these kinds of fresh starts or these new beginnings, we of course look forward to when they actually begin, and we look forward to their happening with such an eager anticipation. And that new beginning, that fresh start, of course, in and of itself, is of great relevance to us. But I'm going to suggest that the real significance of that beginning and the appreciation for that beginning or fresh start comes once we're into it for a while. Do you follow what I'm saying? The initial is of great relevance, but we really begin to appreciate and grab hold of that fresh start once we're in it for a while. Think about marriage for a second. Here's an example. So the wedding day is an exciting new beginning. It's a fresh start. And I can remember my wedding day here in what year? 2002. And I will tell you what my mentor, my pastor, told me right before I came out on that most exciting day of my life. He pointed to the window in the radio room and he said, "It's your last chance to jump." Nothing I ever expected to come out of Pastor Blackwell's mouth, but I never forgot that. You know, obviously jokingly he said that. And what a day that was for me, the best day of my life. Oh, thanks, Elena. I only said it because you're here. No, I'm just kidding. But think about the wedding day for a moment, right? It's an exciting day. It's a day that we look forward to, or it's a day of eager anticipation. But to truly appreciate the gift of marriage is not just to look to that day, but it's to actually live in it, to be in it. And in time, when we spend that time with one another, we begin really to see all the more clear why God instituted that most remarkable estate, why He gave it to us. More times than not, the meaning of marriage isn't found necessarily in that day. And don't get me wrong, it's a huge day. It's a day when a couple, a husband and wife, come before God in this place and profess their love for one another. But it's more importantly that time when God comes to them and bestows His blessing upon them. Don't get me wrong, but for the couple living in that marriage, more times than not, the meaning isn't found necessarily in that day. It's not found in the picture of the young couple afterwards when they look back 25 years and see themselves. It's not found there, but it's found more in the day today. Even 50 or 60 years into it, it's found in the conversations and the companionship that God has given to us through it. I guess what I'm trying to say is that in so many, and this is just one example, but in so many of life's experiences, those milestones, those new beginnings, sometimes it takes time for things to be revealed. And sometimes it takes some time for us to really, truly appreciate what it is. And you know, I think that's kind of how it went with Jesus' baptism. Now, don't get me wrong here. Again, the baptism itself was monumental. It was huge. That beginning in and of itself was extremely relevant. The Son of God from all eternity in the person of Jesus on the banks of the Jordan to be baptized by John. And there as He came up out of that water, the heavens were opened. And the voice of the Father declared Him, "This is My Son." And the Spirit rested on Him. Imagine that scene, how remarkable it must have been. But here's the other side. As people looked on, they wondered, why? Why this Jesus? I mean, He's God's promised one. He's the Messiah. Why baptize? Even John himself sort of wondered, didn't he? Why? We should be reversing the roles here. As people looked on, they wondered, isn't baptism for sinners? Then why this beginning? Why a baptism for you, Jesus? But you see, to truly begin to understand and appreciate the moments, We have to move out from the water now and up to the shore and follow Jesus. You see, friends, this beginning, this baptism of our Lord, it was a beginning and a huge and significant beginning. But this beginning was moving Jesus someplace. See, in that baptism, He was commissioned for ministry. In that baptism, authority was declared His by God the Father. And in baptism, in that very baptism, He was affirmed by the Father, but also affirmed in ministry and what was to come, His work, and what was to be, was affirmed. And so as Jesus came up out of that water in that most remarkable day, He went to work. And He reached out to the lowest of the low as He healed, as He taught about the coming kingdom of God. And as He came up out of that water, what flowed from that baptism was God's love revealed in His Son, a love that would lead Him straight to the cross for you and for me. See, the baptism was the beginning. But the results that followed, life changing indeed. The same is said for you and me in holy baptism. Baptism, you see, is a new beginning for us. It's the beginning of our faith walk. But like Jesus' baptism, the relevance, and it's not again to say that the day of isn't of huge significance, it is. But we really begin to appreciate the value of that baptism when we move beyond the actual days of that event. And again, don't get me wrong, the day of our baptism is huge. But there's more. It's a beginning. And to truly understand the richness of that moment, we have to move beyond the moment itself to life. Right here. Right now. And all the way into eternity. Here's what I mean by this. Our baptism, and I don't know if you can remember, well, probably not. Some maybe. But you know the day. I'm sure you have a certificate that says it. For me, it was right here in this place on September 10th, 1977. And yesterday when I said 1977, somebody I heard them go, "Oh, such a baby." It was here in 1977. And for all of us, that baptism, as remarkable as that day was, it's a one-time event. That's what we say as Lutherans. If that baptism is done in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it's a done deal. God is the prime mover. We don't re-baptize, right? If someone happens to fall away from faith and they come back, we don't re-baptize them. Let me ask you why. If God's the prime mover and we rebaptize, what are we essentially saying? The first one didn't take. And if we say the first one didn't take, then we say God is no good at what He's good at doing. So we don't rebaptize. We just say when someone comes back to faith, we say that baptism took a long time ago and that Spirit was working on your heart, and praise God that you're back. Praise God that that baptism is power for your life. You see, baptism is a one-time event. God's the prime mover. But here's the neat part about baptism. It's a daily occurrence. You follow me? One-time event, but it's a daily occurrence because that baptism unites us to Christ's death and His resurrection each and every day. Paul tells us that we drown the old Adam in us, and as we drown that old Adam in repentance, right, sorrow for the shortcomings in our sin, as we drown that old Adam, out emerges this new creation in Christ Jesus, empowered to live forgiven and free, changed. Changed to be God's people. Our baptism too declares us God's children. And as His children, we're affirmed. Remember, Jesus was affirmed in baptism as the voice of the Father came down. Now my hunch is when you were baptized, the church didn't open wide. But the voice of the Father certainly did affirm you. This is my child. You are my son. You are my daughter. And with you I am pleased and I love you. In baptism we are affirmed sons and daughters of our Jesus. We're reminded that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are His. And as He works in us and declares us His children, so too He gives to us very, very special gifts. Each and every one of us a part of the body that make the body what it is. He gives us those gifts and He empowers us as His children to touch people with those gifts of love, mercy, grace. Our baptism connects us to one another. Again, we're the body. We're family. We're the family of God. And how desperately we need one another, don't we? Our baptism connects us to Christ. And nothing, friends, can separate us from His love. Nothing. That's what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8. You know, Martin Luther, I don't know if you knew this about Martin Luther, but Martin Luther was plagued with a very, very heavy depression at times. And as Luther would experience these fits of depression, and as he felt the weights of the world and the burdens of life as they had their effects on him, when he was tempted in those moments to give up, he would recite this sort of mantra. And here's what he would say. I am baptized. I am baptized. I am baptized. Three times he would say it. When he felt the pressures of life, when he felt those moments of despair, I am baptized. You see, it reminded him in those moments that he was a claimed child of God in Christ. And in those moments, he knew that it was Christ who could empower him to rise up, hope-filled, joyful, peaceful. And life can do that to us, can't it? Life can have us down. Life can have us feeling heavy, maybe even depressed and fearful at times. But like Luther, we are baptized. We are baptized. We are baptized. We belong to Christ. He is our strength. He is our hope and our joy. And it's this baptism, friends, our baptism, that connects us to the promise of life. Life now and life forever. I never thought in a million years that I would say this, and I know that this sounds strange, but one of the great joys of my call as a pastor is to stand up and officiate at funerals. I once had a professor at school who said, I would much rather do a funeral than a wedding any day. And I thought that was the strangest thing to say. And I thought to myself, how could you say that? But now I understand. Because it's in those moments that people are yearning for something sure and something hope-filled. And God uses us as pastors to be His voice box to people in those moments so that they might know life in the face of death, so that they might know hope and grief. Now, over these years, as the pastor here, you know, and coming up on 10 years here, I have no idea how many funerals I have officiated at, and every single one of them stand out in my mind. But there are two that I can recall from my memory that particularly stand out for me. It was the funeral of Mark Garrison, and it was the funeral of my good friend, Jim Perry. You see, as I sat down with the family and I prepared for those moments with them, and Mark was in December of 2010, right? And Jim was just this past spring, it was in June of 2017. As I sat down, as I always do with families to prep, there was a request that was made. Suzanne requested, and Barb requested, that their baptismal candles be placed up on that altar. And there may have been more funerals, and I apologize if I'm forgetting, but those are the two that I can recall in my memory. Suzanne and Dick, you guys were the first to do that. And what a powerful statement that is. Because you see, in baptism, when we're presented by our parents and godparents very little, God goes to work. And God covers us in baptism. He covers us with His love and His grace. And so too in death, Christ covers us again in life and in love. You see, baptism in a way is the culmination of faith. Or I'm sorry, death is the culmination of baptism. That candle lit is a reminder that there's life and death. And that, friends, is a certainty. The same Christ who covers us in life covers us in death to life. You know what's helpful? For us to look back to the events of Jesus' baptism today. But it's also important for us to look beyond that, right? And appreciate it all. And in the same way, it might be helpful for us to look back to the day of our baptism. But the meaning and the appreciation for it is more likely to be seen today and in what is to come. Sometimes it takes time for good things to be revealed. Thanks be to our God for our Jesus. Thanks be to our God for our baptism. What a gift it is to cherish. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The congregation's offerings are now being gathered by the ushers. This morning's radio broadcast is sponsored and brought to you by the people of St. John's to the glory of God. Thank you.
Please rise if you are able.
As the grains of wheat, once scattered on the hill, are gathered into one to become our bread, so may all your people from all the ends of earth be gathered into one in you. As this cup of blessing is shared within our midst, may we share the presence of your love. As the grains of wheat, once scattered on the hill, were gathered into one to become our bread, so may all your people from all the ends of earth be gathered into one in you. Let this be a foretaste of all that is to come, when all creation shares its feast with you. As the grains of wheat, once scattered on the hill, were gathered into one to become our bread, so may all your people from all the ends of earth be gathered into one.
In addition to those who are printed in the prayers in your worship bulletin, please also include Kathy Pinozny's granddaughter, Kelly. She's going to be doing some international travel, so Kathy was a little anxious about the travel and asked that she be listed in the prayers this weekend, that God would protect her on her travel. So please pray for Kelly this week. For Heather Holtz's father, Russ, who is under hospice care, and also for Heather and her entire family this week as they mourn the death of Heather's grandmother, Maxine. For Carol Adragna, Carol is hospitalized at Millard Fillmore Suburban. She's got pneumonia and was recently diagnosed with CHF or congestive heart failure. So please pray for Carol. For Kathy Fergale's sister, Carol, and Kathy Fergale's brother, Gary, who are both fighting cancer. For Norma Vanderwerk, Ron called me this morning and informed me that Norma was taken into the hospital with some cardiac-related issues. So please pray for Norma. For Pastor David Walsh, I had a conversation last week with Ed and Jeannie, and David is still having some difficulty as he's serving in Minnesota, significant health issues there. So please continue to pray for Pastor Dave. And that the doctors and nurses would come up with a plan to treat him. And last but not least, if you would, say a word of prayer for Don and Barb Loney's daughter-in-law, Katrina. She's got some very significant health issues going on as well. She's in Indiana and is working with doctors there. So please say prayers for Katrina as well and the rest of the family. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs.
King of all creation, you rule over your kingdom with wisdom and knowledge that surpasses all human understanding. Share that same wisdom and discretion with the leaders of this world, especially Donald, our president, that they might efficiently and effectively lead those entrusted to their care. Grant them the ability to discern between good and evil and to do work for the benefit of all people. Be with those serving in our armed forces, especially Cody, Tracy, and William from our congregation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you have adopted us into your family in the waters of holy baptism, and made us to be your beloved children. In love, you have predestined us to be your children, made holy and blameless by the blood of Christ on the cross. Lavish us with your love, that we might be your faithful family of believers now and always. Be with the Plewick, Pinozny, Poss, Possinger, and Preston families, and all others from our congregation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, even at a young age, your Son knew the importance of being in your house of worship, and the importance of being in your house of worship to worship you and to do the work that you would have him do. Grant that all of your people, with their faith-filled hearts, would yearn to be in your house and do the work that you have called us to do. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Father in heaven, we pray your countless blessings upon all who have been given difficult but amazing responsibilities of being a parent. Bless all parents with a measure of your patience and mercy as they train their children in the ways of righteousness. In particular, be with single parents and adoptive parents as they raise their children to your glory and honor. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, you are the great physician and healer of your people. Be with all those who are sick and hospitalized this day, especially Kelly, Russ, Heather Holtz and family, Carol, Gary, Norma, Pastor Walsh, Katrina, and if I could add my son Eric's friend Nate, who's hospitalized in Baltimore and awaiting a liver transplant, and our extended family member and friends, especially those listed in our bulletin. Support them with your tender care and mercy. Bless all doctors, nurses, and medical professionals that they might work diligently and faithfully to the betterment of your people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on the St. John's Radio Ministry, the support staff at WXRL, our commentators, and all listeners, that as the ministry continues, more and more people may come to know the saving message of the gospel through it. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, be with the St. Luke's Food Pantry and Plymouth Crossroads, that we might all be aware of those in need, and may the presence of your love, compassion, and charity may continue to shine in those communities. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. At this time, I'm going to have you take a seat. I completely passed over the installation of the officers. And if those in the congregation that are serving in office for 2018, if you would come forward. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Holy Scripture tells us that the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. And so brothers chose 7 among them so that they might be filled with the Spirit and with wisdom, so that they would turn and share in the responsibility together as the people of God. You have been chosen for very specific positions of responsibility here at St. John's. As such, you're to work with me, the pastor of word and sacrament, that our life together in Christ may be orderly and pleasing in his sight. You're to see that the services of God's house are held at the proper times in accordance with the orders of the church, that the word of God is purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, that the sacraments of Christ are administered according to his institution, and that provision is made for Christian instruction of young and old, that the erring are admonished, and that discipline is maintained. You are to see that the temporal affairs of the congregation are properly administered, and that proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You're to assist in the caring for the poor and the sick, in cultivating harmony among the members, in promoting the general welfare of this congregation, and in furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. While holiness of life and work is the way of all who trust in Christ, It is especially important that you, as office bearers in His church, show yourselves by word and example to be patterns of good work and Christian devotion. And so I ask you, in the presence of God and this congregation, do you accept the offices entrusted to you? And do you promise to faithfully carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to His word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, answer, I do. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I now place you in office as officers of the Church Council and the boards here at St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty and most merciful God, our Heavenly Father, enlighten and strengthen you in your office, that you may be good and faithful stewards to the glory of His name and the good of His people. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have raised up these servants for work among your people. We humbly implore you to grant them by your Holy Spirit those gifts which they will need for the faithful carrying out of their task, most especially wisdom, strength, and willing hearts. Let your blessings rest on this congregation, strengthen the faith, quicken the love, and enkindle the zeal of its members, that your name may be glorified, and that here and in all places under heaven, the kingdom of your Son may be advanced. We remember today with thanksgiving those who have faithfully served your people, who now retire from their time of service in a specific office. We especially give thanks for Mark, for Helena, and for Dana. And we pray that in the end of days, we with all your faithful people may hear the voice of Christ saying, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." This we pray through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. My dear partners, my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, go then in the name of the Lord. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless, preserve, and empower you. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you again. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks, Jamie. Thanks, Sharon. John, thank you. Touch, thank you. Betty, thank you. Ross, thank you. Ken, thanks. Laura, thank you. Mike, thank you. Brad, thank you. Go in the peace of Christ.
We continue with the service of the sacrament. Please rise if you are able. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And now we praise you that you sent your only begotten Son, and that in Him, being found in fashion as a man, you manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy are you, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in your name. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth, and mercy for our fallen world. You gave your only begotten Son that all those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith, as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. We pray together now as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
As we've received God's peace into our hearts and our minds, let's share that peace with one another.
As those who are worshiping now turn to one another and exchange the church's ancient greeting of the peace of the Lord, the pastor and members of St. John's ask God to send his peace into your hearts as well. The peace that God gives us is a peace beyond human understanding and a peace that is eternal. Passes peace on to someone else today. As the people of St. John's come forward to the altar to receive the assurance of Christ's forgiveness and strength for the days ahead through the sacrament of Holy Communion, the congregation will sing the first hymn, "Shall We Gather at the River," from One Voice.
Thank you. drink and eat. This is the true body of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of your sins.
We continue by singing On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry, hymn number 14 in Lutheran worship.
And now may this your Lord's true body and blood strengthen you and keep you in true faith from now to life everlasting. Depart in his joy and his peace.
People of St. John's are glad you have joined us in our worship this morning. St. John's Church is located in the center of Depew, one block northeast at the center of Transit and Broadway at 67 Litchfield Avenue. As Lutherans, we believe that we are being saved by the grace of God alone, that we know about that grace from Scripture alone, and that God's grace acts in and to us only through our faith. Please worship with us in person in the near future. Our building is handicapped accessible. If you'd like more information about St. John's or about our faith as Lutheran Christians, please write to us. We also welcome your comments and suggestions about our broadcasts. If you'd like to help sponsor one of our broadcasts, we would welcome your support. Write or call our church office for information. Our address is 67 Litchfield Avenue, Depew, New York, 14043, or you may call 683-3947. This is your announcer, Susie Bloom, wishing you God's protection and care for you in the days ahead.
Now may this your Lord's true body and blood strengthen you and keep you in true faith from now to life everlasting. Be part of his joy and peace. Amen.
Thank you.
Savior Jesus Christ, give an end to death for the forgiveness of your sins. And now may this your Lord's true body and blood strengthen you and keep you in true faith from now to life everlasting. Pardon, joy, and peace. Amen.
You to please stand. We're going to go right to the post-communion prayer. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. My friends, receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Put the candles on.
Sin, he sets the prisoners free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me.
Please have a seat for a quick moment. Good morning again. Good to see all of you. Good to be with you this morning in worship. Thank you so much for being here. First and foremost, a very, 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 very special thank you to all the leaders that are stepping up this 2008 as we journey forward, excuse me, in ministry. So to all of you that are serving, God bless you in your service, and thank you so very much for the partnership that we share. And for those that are stepping out, I already mentioned them in the prayers. But again, thank you to you and the dedicated service that you gave to our congregation. I know the story's not over for you. God has more in store. And so we look forward with eager anticipation to where God is leading you next. So again, thank you. On the announcement end of things, just very, very quickly, in your worship bulletin in the back, it's jumping forward into February, but I want to just clarify. The annual dinner this year is going to be on a Friday evening. It's Friday, February 23rd. It's listed in your bulletin from 6 to 8. That doesn't work. It starts at 6 o'clock. As I understand, it's going to sort of be a progressive kind of thing. We're going to break away from the traditional way of doing the annual dinner. And it's going to be spaced out with just very brief kind of reflections and things like that. But we have to start at 6, so it can't be a 6 to 8 and you wander in at 7, because it won't work that way. Okay, so please just make note of that. Also, in your journal, Jenny caught this, it's listed twice in the journal. It's listed for Friday, and it's also listed for Sunday. I'm not doing it twice, I assure you of that. So it's Friday. We can't do it on Sunday, obviously, because the council this year decided to go with the spaghetti dinner, and it would be impossible for me to do that on a Sunday. So it is that Friday, so just make note of that and put that in your calendar correctly. Speaking of calendars, this year we did not receive calendars. Helena, let me grab it from you. We did not receive calendars as we've done in the past. I believe, if my memory suits me well, the printer's no longer doing them, whatever the case may be. And so this week I put together a calendar. And I was just going to do a few of them, but then a wonderful parishioner said, no, make more, I will cover the cost, and do them in color. All right. So this week I will plan to make more of these, but these are 2018 calendars, and what I did with them is I put different pictures that Ross took, and there's a few other ones in there from our congregation. So it's just a very personal calendar to our church. So I will do those. I'll print those up this week. I'll put them together this week and have them available for you next week. Okay? I'm sorry, we're into the new year, but there was no way I was doing this Christmas week. So they'll be available for you next week, just like this. Okay? Again, thank you to the very generous anonymous donor who is taking care of the cost of these for us. The adult information.